Hello, it's a wonderful day. Wonderful morning. Waiting for a few more people and we're gonna get started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started.
Alright, alright. Christmas jammies at the beach.
I'm still chilling at the beach.
Christmas jammies too.
Oh yeah, I know, right? It's like Christmas in July here. Oh, let's see your shirt. Let's see. Oh, Shaz is back and forth. We got the little guard.
Yes.
So he's like the British National Guard.
I was telling Cindy, I told the cats that I'm not working today. So now Shaz sees me on my computer. He's like, wait, like, you're not supposed to be working today. Like, why are you on your computer? So he's giving me like the stink eye from everyone. You're not happy?
No.
Shaz, I'm not working.
We're enjoying.
It's
look.
It's good news day. Yeah. Oh, look, Kitty Poo's here too.
Oh,
they're
Kitty
both
Poo.
Like, I got Kitty Poo to my right.
Hi. Don't be shy.
I got Shaz to my left.
Hi, Shaz. We're working. Look. This is.
Yeah,
this is,
look at that.
We're not working. I mean, we're just having fun.
We're having fun. Wow. They're both like on top of me.
Yeah. They're just watching you from either side.
Oh, this is so cute. They're having a moment.
I'm so happy they're getting along.
They don't really get along. They just kind of tolerate each other. It's only a matter of time until Shaz like starts to like hit him.
Uh-oh.
Shaz is getting pissed. Shaz is like, what are you doing on the table? I'm supposed to be on the table. I'm supervising mom today, not you. Not Kitty Poo turned around. They're like full on like all day entertainment.
That's great. It's always happy to have that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because Kitty likes to go out after eating.
Oh, he doesn't?
No, he goes out after eating.
Oh, wow.
But then he comes back 2 hours later. He yeah. always does this.
One of my friends was telling me that she has an outdoor cat. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not hers. It doesn't really belong to anybody. It kind of just lives outside.
Yeah.
And lately, he's been, like, meowing and crying a lot.
Something's wrong.
Yeah, I feel like something is wrong, but... Yeah. I don't know if anybody's going to be able to, like, take the cat to, like, the vet or anything like that. So, I don't know. I'm trying to think of something for that. Because no one, like people, I guess, feed the cat, but no one really is, like, responsible for the cat. So, she's been saying that she's been hearing the cat, like, cry at night. So.
Maybe even wants to come in. Maybe it's too cold, you know?
Yeah, that's what I told my friend. Maybe he needs to.
No, Kitty knows his limits. Okay, that's going to be a lot of notifications. When you click on notifications, it's all my apps.
Yeah, you have to, like, disable all of them.
I don't know.
But that's okay. Well, once you put your phone on silent from the side, it really shouldn't chime at all.
Yeah, that's really odd.
Yep.
The Stone Age. Stone Age? Phone Age.
The Phone Age. The struggle. The struggle of the ring. The ringer. I got kitty poo. Yeah. So how's everyone doing? Happy Sunday.
Very good. Just being positive, being alive, and being happy. That's all.
Being grateful.
Yeah, definitely being grateful every day.
I'm going to want to go on a vacation soon.
Another one?
My friend Jess is like, come back again. I was like, I wish. It would be nice. But no, not yet. I'm trying to get the vaccine, but there's like nothing available.
I heard that it's very hard to get it.
Yeah. And I don't want the Moderna. I want the Pfizer. Moderna is available in a lot of places.
Yeah.
What I'm seeing, but the Pfizer isn't.
I don't know. I mean, I heard theories that it can make you infertile. I don't know if that's true or not.
Mm-mm. So. I haven't heard of that. I mean, I'm actually, I read some articles that said that it's better to get it while you are pregnant. So that way your baby gets it too, in a way. I'm hearing like a muffled after sound.
Yeah, I'm hearing that too. Better?
I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. A little bit. What'd you do with the audio
setting? I don't know. What? I was playing around with it this morning and
maybe it's actually your earbud. Try removing it. Unplug it. Let's see if that helps.
Okay.
Yeah, it seems better.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I turned it a little.
There you go. Turning the cable fixes things.
I know.
Hey, Matthew. Hi, sunshine.
I'm feeling very sunny today.
Good morning, sunshine.
Hello.
In Saturn. Hey, Sylvia, are we hearing
you? Oh, I just want to test my my headphone because my something wrong with the built-in speaker on my computer.
Okay.
Yeah, it sounds better. So we're all good. Great. Yay!
Yay!
I will start off with fun news, where I love Cookie Monster, and there is a Cookie Monster article.
Yay! Cookie Monster!
Cookie. That's me, Cookie Monster.
Cookie Monster.
Me love Cookie.
C is for Cookie.
Good enough for me. C's for Cookie.
Oh my god! Yeah. What is that?
It looks rocks, exactly actually. Like it. Yeah. So geologist finds rare formation inside rock that looks exactly like Cookie Monster on Sesame Street.
Oh.
Yeah, look at that.
How odd.
It's a volcanic rock in Brazil. And when they cut it open, look at it. It was the shape of a egg. And inside, it was the Cookie Monster.
Cookie Monster.
It's two of them.
Cookie Monster was out and about during the whatever prehistoric stage or whatever this would have been.
It looks exactly right, like Cookie Monster.
Yeah. Is there another Muppet that looks like that too?
There is.
Go ahead. Do your thing.
Oh, yeah. Turns out while many are looking to buy, say, the perfect rose quartz to meditate with, there's always a market for people who feel a Sesame Street themed piece of agate rock is just the thing they need in their lives. And I guess the person's name is Bowers, Mike Bowers. He has the rocks, and people offer $10,000 for the rock so far.
Wow. Yeah. I wish I found that rock.
Yeah. There's a few famous agates. I love agate stone because it's so pretty. Look at it. It's so glassy and pretty natural glassy. I bought Matthew an agate candle, like an agate rock, and it has a wick, and it burns for a very long time. It doesn't stop burning until you take it out. But the agate doesn't burn. So it's a perfect candle, basically. Yeah. And then there's so many rocks that have shapes, but this one is definitely unique. What do you guys think?
I like it. You know, it kind of reminds me of this, like, a long time ago, like, someone found a Cheeto that looked like Jesus, and they sold it on eBay for, like, $1 million or something. Probably, maybe not that much. Someone bought it.
Yeah, things with like religious sentiments like that tend to go for a lot of money. But even something like this, but at least this guy cut it in a way so he could sell both of those.
Oh yeah, and you know, cool. He can probably cut it maybe like a few more slices. Yeah, and I get like a little necklace out of it.
That's a smart idea.
A little necklace.
I don't think he realized, you know, that it looked like Cookie Monster until he cut it. So now he can, like you said, he can really sell them.
Yeah, what they call serendipity, right? So you land on something valuable. You just discover something like cool.
Yeah. Cookie Monster. Nice. I want that rock. So if anybody wants to buy me that rock, please contact Mike Bowers on Facebook. $10,000. Maybe.
What would you do with that?
I'll put it up on a case and look at it every day.
My Cookie Monster. I'd put a little cookie in his mouth. Little Cookie Monster.
Well, you gotta change the cookie times time.
You can build him his own little Instagram page.
There you go.
He can be like an influencer.
Yeah. Just like animals on Instagram.
He could be the next rock.
he's your pet rock.
No, like the rock.
Like the wrestler rock.
The rock.
The rock is cooking cookies. Do you smell the cookies?
Not yet. I need the cookies next to me. My cats are distracting me.
Kitty Poo. Kitties. Do you want to be in good news, Shaz and Kitty Poo?
Shaz is like on her tree now. Now Kitty Poo's next to me. She's like, I think Kitty Poo is hungry. Hungry or cranky?
Would you like anything to say, Kitty? Would you like anything to say?
Kitty, they're talking to you.
Any good news?
So shy.
He's like, who are you calling shy?
Kitty Poo's listening. Look at the air going.
Yeah. Aww.
Pet, oh, he's getting your attention.
I know. Oh. But then he gets angry and he bites me when I.
Oh yeah, my cat does that too.
Yeah. See, it's like you want to be pet, but you want to bite me.
They're pretty playful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Make up your mind.
Pets are such like endless sources of joy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have an article related to that too, in a way. It's the most cutest thing I've ever seen. There is an organization called Paws of War in Kentucky. They rescue puppies and find them homes with veterans.
Cute puppies, Wiggling.
So they're pretty much saying they rescue all these puppies and I think somewhere in Kentucky, and they were covered in fleas, in just bad condition. They just took them here to this organization where they get adopted by veterans.
So cute. Mm-hmm. Very cute. Yeah, they're rescued. Yeah. Pawsofwar.org. These puppies are playing with each other. There's a bunch playing with each other. I guess it's good to adopt two puppies so they can play with each other, right?
Yeah, they say that about kittens. They say if you adopt kittens, you have to get them in a pair so they can play with each other.
Yeah, and it says it elongates life for veterans. So if you adopt a puppy, your life will be elongated.
Yeah, and I think any pet too. So because we have pets, we're going to live a lot longer. Oh, look at Kitty Poo. Yeah. So yeah, that's what I wanted to share.
Okay, great. Great share.
Kitty Poo concurs. Mm-hmm. Always adopt.
Adopt, don't shop, right? That's what they say.
You're going to be like turned into a zombie looking out the window. The people across the street are like picking up their laundry, dropping it off. So he's so intrigued by it. But yeah, Kitty Poo was also rescued. She was an outdoor stray. So I got her another kitten and we've been inseparable ever since, my big chunky boy. Can't get enough of him. Kitty Poo has replaced me today.
Oh, Kitty Poo!
Oh my gosh! You okay, Kitty? My love bug? So I have an article to share. I'll come back. You know what? I'll just let Kitty Poo do the talking.
Okay, talk, Kitty Poo. You're on the mic.
I found an article about women in Bangladesh getting education, because what happens in a lot of, you know, Asian countries is that women don't get any priority when it comes to education. It's typically the men. As soon as, you know, they become probably like maybe 10 or 15 years old, families start to send them to schools to get education so that way they can learn like basic skills, reading and writing, so that way they can become breadwinners in the family and go out and get jobs. But not typical for women to get education. They tend to send them into like garment factories or something like a brick and mortar place where they're like creating or packaging things that don't require any skills. This organization in Bangladesh is providing opportunities for women that want to get education with scholarships to get the education plus a stipend. So that way they don't have to feel pressure from family members that aren't earning any money. So what they do is they provide them with education with a stipend so that way they can bring home money at the same time as well as getting the education that they need. The name of this organization is Asian University for Women, AUW. They also, in addition to education, which I thought was interesting, they also work on life skills. So they teach them dance and singing and art. So that way you're becoming like more holistic student rather than just academic based knowledge, which I think is very important because that makes you different from everybody else and it shows your individuality. In addition to reading comprehension, writing, and business studies, another integral component of the students' curriculum is in the performing arts. For women from underserved communities, especially those from conflict areas, learning to express themselves freely and without fear of reclamation instills a sense of self-confidence and opens a new world of possibilities, right? Which is, I think, so important for everyone. And this one is also a good paragraph. There are very much underprivileged students, and what happens, the environment for most of them makes them introverts. So they tend to kind of only express themselves to people close to them, but being exposed to something that's more art related helps them express themselves to other people, making them more outgoing. It's giving the students a new language to express their rights without any hesitations and fear. So that helps, you know, boost confidence in themselves too, which is, you know, a great thing to have amongst women. I found this article to be very, very pleasing to see, and I wish that more women would get that opportunity as well.
Yeah, I agree. Like, we're brown women in America, and then you hear about stories like this overseas, and you just think, wow, I feel so... I feel privileged, and it shouldn't be a privilege. It should be a right to have education.
Exactly. Yeah, it's true. I mean, it is a right, and that's the way it should be, but...
A lot of people don't see it that way.
Yeah. I love it. Education is important for everyone, and I love that they're... You know, it sucks that women were a little underprivileged in foreign countries. Now everything is spreading. Education should always be for everybody. Children, men, women, everybody. And it's just, knowledge is always power.
Exactly.
You know, yeah. These women have a lot of education, and it just makes you happy.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Building the brain is always important. And
yeah.
Look at this. Just keep spreading the knowledge. I hope other countries see this and, you know, keep providing for education for everybody.
Yeah. Social upward, like mobility, you know. Yes. I don't know how many men and women are there are in a society, but let's say in America we have 60% of women and 40% of men. I'm just assuming. If you don't foster and nurture at least 60% of your population, you know, how, and you rely on only 40% of the population to produce, then it's sort of, you know, it's not really balanced if you're not going to nourish and enrich like a good chunk of your population.
I like how they take the time to do the creative side of education, because the creative side of education is really, I feel, the most important. That's how we get technology. That's how we get new things and we go places and evolve, so to speak. So it's really good that they're doing the creative side. I think America needs to step that up a little bit, because we kind of frown upon the creative side of it, like, oh, that's just play. And it's not play. It's actually how the world really works.
Right, yeah. Or they kind of twist art to say, so it has to be more useful. Like, you want to be an artist, maybe you should get into branding or marketing and see how you could sell a product in a way. But there are different types of art. You can be a fine artist and inspire people to create innovations. I don't know when's the last time we had an innovation, you know? So that could help. We have other people creating something new, and it's art because they're expressing themselves. And it's not just to sell a product.
Yeah, art is important. I love acting and entertainment. That's something that makes me happy. I love to dance. I miss that, actually. I haven't danced, and just doing little artsy, social artsy stuff. As including acting, you know, acting is so much fun, and bringing that to Bangladesh and all over the world, you know, more people can express themselves.
Here's a fun factoid. Do you know how we got the doors that slide open in apartment stores and all around? When you walk into a store, they slide open.
Yeah.
That, you know the history of that, how it came to be?
No.
It all came to be from Star Trek. A guy imagined, you know, like when they were going to spaceship, the doors would open. They had two people on both sides behind the scene pulling the door when the captain would go through. But a guy loves Star Trek so much, he's like, I'm gonna make that a reality. We use it all day long now, and we take it for granted, but it came from imagination and creativity.
Wow,
that's a good fact.
And I bet I bet all these hoverboards that they're trying to make was probably inspired from Back from the Future.
Yeah, but they should have came out, I believe, in 2015. I should be flying around right now.
I guess it's harder than it looks.
Yeah, we keep curating. Soon we're going to have flying cars coming out. Toyota already have their flying cars coming out soon. I don't know when, but...
I don't know if I trust regular people with driving cars, let alone flying cars.
Yeah.
And speaking of which, they recently launched the Tesla in India.
Oh, they did?
There have been so many memes about it because if you look at the traffic and the cows on the road, I'm like, how is a Tesla ever going to survive in India?
That's so cute. I mean, it's good to have it in India because India, they said it's a little crowded.
Crowded.
Yeah, you have little Tesla, you know, flying cars a little above.
Oh, you know,
the cows will be like, oh.
Whoa, yeah, what's happening here?
Moo, moo.
Wow, that looks cool. It looks like that. Actually like one of those like toy
cars,
helicopters. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can't control it, but you just say where you want to go, and it takes you.
Huh.
Yeah.
Oh, so do you think it's legit, or is it just like a bait trap?
No. It's legit because I looked it up again. Toyota flying car. But
it's showing the Toyota Highlander first.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, this is it. SkyDrive. It's from Toyota SkyDrive. So. Hey, nice. I mean, I don't mind. I mean, so much traffic out there.
And it's a vertical takeoff. That's pretty cool. So you could just go up directly instead of like ascending.
I think we saw this at the car show a long time ago, right, Cindy?
Yeah. They had some weird stuff in the car show like that.
Weird stuff.
Like this. They did have that. They had like antiques in the car show. They had everything in the car show. But I don't know if I remember this one in the car show. But they always had some weird stuff. You remember it, Sylvia?
Yeah, I remember the flying car briefly. I don't know. I thought it just looked like an airplane, like a tiny airplane.
Yeah.
I mean, but if they want to go for cars that don't just drive on the road, it reminds me of the scene from Bourne Identity. It's like a futuristic movie. They have people using empaths and like psychics to predict crimes. It was Minority Report. That was a show. Yeah. And they had flying cars. I don't know how they flew, though. But I thought if they could make a car like look like that, then that would be really cool.
Yeah. So right now it could fit one human. So they're working on another seat. So you can fit two humans. So they can make this flying car into an air taxi.
Really? Okay. Yeah,
Tokyo, Japan comes up with really awesome things.
They should find a way for like drones to like fit people.
Drones? They're so tiny.
I mean, yeah, but make them bigger and pop a human in it.
Yeah, it's like a drone, I mean, in a way.
Yeah.
You know? But drones, you know, is very iffy subject because people use it to go to people's houses and look in. I think that's why it became illegal.
Yeah, there's laws about that.
Yeah. Yeah, you got
all sorts of peeping Toms.
Yeah. I'm just
I know Volvo made a flying car as well. I'll try to find a video of it so you guys can look at it later on. It basically drives on the road and it flies. Certain locations like your house, it will fly to where you set like a tracker or something, and your household knows to get to these locations, and it will fly to different mall places. But it's only in Sweden right now that they're trying it out. And
there's this author, Michio Keiko, he wrote about the physics of the future, and he also wrote about the flying car. I have the book, I didn't finish it, I was reading it a little while ago. It's pretty interesting. He's a physics teacher in CUNY, City College of New York, and he wrote about the physics of the future, and the flying car was in there. So if you have a chance to read it, it's a good read.
Oh yeah, I have the book too, and I read some of it. Yeah. He wrote it in 2015, I think.
No,
and now it's
2011.
2011? Yeah. Oh, and he was predicting for 2015, yes. Some things actually are out. He covered a story about the contact lens you put in your eye, and then you can see people's information, like the Terminator. He talks to people in tech, hidden knowledge out and about.
Good to be prepared too.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone else has an article they would like to share?
I will share an article off of the Cookie Monster. We're going the opposite extreme. So this guy took the pandemic, I guess you could say, and did something great with it. He was 441 pounds, and now he lost 226 pounds. And 15 months. He was running a marathon. He's got to try a bigger marathon. He started to get in shape when he realized he couldn't walk up the stairs and keep up with his two children. So his children are his biggest inspiration for his weight loss. He's lost weight. He has his wife supporting him at the marathon. He felt great running the marathon and having his wife and kids waiting for him at the end. It took him 5 hours and 24 minutes to complete the whole thing. And just take something positive with this time, man. I don't think he eats that many cookies, though.
That is really nice. I hear a lot of people, they get motivated to lose weight because of their family. They want to be around for the kids and be able to run after them.
And also to like prove their lifestyle too, because you want to live long enough to see your kids get older, go to college, things like that.
Oh yeah.
If you're overweight and obese, you tend to have heart conditions and stuff. So
yeah, it's a poor quality of life. Mm-hmm. And you can definitely fix it. So Matthew, you're a personal trainer. Is this something I could do to like train for a marathon to lose like maybe 10, 15 pounds?
You could train for a marathon. There's no reason that you can't. If you want to run a marathon, let's go run a marathon.
But like, will it, like if I wanted to run a marathon to lose weight, is that effective? And how long does that take?
I mean, you really shouldn't run a marathon to lose weight. If you want to use it as a motivational tool, mm-hmm. you can do that. But for the most part, exercise in general will help you lose weight. There's various forms. And when it comes to running a marathon, most people will think the best thing to do to run a marathon is to run. That's actually not true. There's a bunch of exercises and different things you need to do to prepare for your body to be able to handle a marathon.
Oh, good to know.
Especially with this guy who wants to go for now an ultra marathon, which is insane. 50-mile race is an ultra marathon. I think that's longer than the New York City marathon.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's I feel like a lot of people, they use the marathon or just running as just a way to improve themselves. I remember I was watching a show called God, I forgot what it was called, but it was interesting. She turned her life around because she had her doctor told her she needs to lose weight and she needs to stop partying, and she just decided to she joined a running group, and then she's like, you know what, I'm doing this for me. And she just every day she goes to the park and she runs, and she just gets better and better. And she completes the marathon. She improved her health, she looks better, and she made better friends. It became a holistic thing. I guess you just need the motivation and then you could improve your life.
Yeah, the thing about a marathon or something to that nature, I would imagine, is it's showing a goal so you can see improvement in numbers. Because a lot of times when we look in the mirror, we got our own head plays games with us, essentially. So now if you do a marathon that's 10 miles and you finish in, let's say, whatever time. Let's say 2 hours it took you. The next time you do that same 10-mile marathon, you complete it in an hour and a half, you see a giant improvement. So it's basically you're seeing improvement in numbers where it's not your head playing games thinking you're not improving. So that's why the mirror doesn't work. The mirror lies to you. But okay. numbers are absolute, essentially.
And also,
same thing with weightlifting.
Even the scale, like you could be a runner and still have the scale will show a lot of weight, but it's probably muscle weight. And also
Cindy's running and she's running and she's gone.
She's going to the bathroom, taking a potty break. Potty with like 3 minutes left. I hope she comes back before we end. I was gonna say, Sylvia, it's a good idea to have a marathon as like an end goal to like working towards that, because you are going to lose weight if you train for a marathon.
Oh
like,
yeah.
We'll say you don't do it necessarily by running. You do it through like increasing your stamina, eating healthy, because you're not going to be like a really large person running in a marathon. You're going to have to tone up, get your body together in order to actually run the marathon. And the motivation could be like the medals or like the timing. I know people that run that really measure their time by the second. So every time they see improvement in like completing a mile closer or in less time, that's accomplishment in itself right there. So
she's ran back. She did a marathon.
Yeah.
So
you made it back. That was a quick bathroom. Did you wash your hands?
Very quickly.
But one number that does lie is the weight on the scale. The weight on the scale will always lie to you. Never trust that number.
Yeah.
Because, especially if you're female, because hormones fluctuate, and then there's also the type of food. If you eat food at a higher salt one day than the other, you'll retain water.
Right.
So you can trust your waist measurement. That doesn't lie, but the scale itself, don't trust that number. I think people get too caught up in the scale.
And especially like BMI, like when was the last time BMI was actually like calculated over again to fit people's because people evolve, people's body structure evolves over the years, and I don't feel like that's even accurate now.
BMI is accurate to one degree. The problem, BMI is accurate in the sense that we basically have all the same amount of blood pumping through our body. So the BMI will help you understand if you're having a heart attack issue, because like when people do a bunch of steroids and they're gigantic looking, they have just as much of a chance of getting a heart attack as a fat person that looks the same way as them. So, I mean, a 300-pound person of muscle and 300-pound person of fat is the same stress on the heart. But BMI is not as accurate as it should be. It should be more waist measurements, because that determines the fat around the midsection. The fat around the midsection is what hurts the organs half the time.
Really good to know.
Yeah.
Right, like you could have a low BMI and still have, like Matthew said, weight around your gut. That's still going to lead to, you know, your heart having a difficult time with it, regardless of if your BMI is healthy or not.
So. Yeah. We all know that one person that is super skinny but has a big beer belly. And they have a lot of health issues. But they probably would pass on the BMI because they're so skinny everywhere else, but they just have the belly.
All right, everyone.